Good morning, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 44 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer, and you can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you for checking me out. And if you're coming back, well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy, busy week to take a listen. We also have a Ravelry group that I would love for you to join. I started a chatter thread last week, and I've had a few nibbles, and I'd love to have more of you chime in and just get the conversation going. Let's see. I am looking at the wrong show notes. There we go. It's a morning, guys. That's just about sums it up. So let's see, today I'm going to talk about what I've been up to, finished objects, works in progress, spinning, cross-stitch, not really enabling and acquisitions, just some teasers for enabling and acquisitions, and in the kitchen and what I'm reading. So, let's get started. What have I been up to? Well, this past weekend in the United States was a 3-day weekend for a lot of people. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It was honoring Martin Luther King Jr. And it is a federal holiday, but some people have to work, some people don't. My library, luckily, is closed, so I got a 3-day weekend. So my weekend was mostly a lazy weekend, which is perfectly fine with me. I love 3-day weekends, almost even more so than like several days off, just because I think you treasure that one day just a little bit more. It's like this little gift. And I always have grand ideas about being productive and the things that I'm going to get done. I know, like, Friday morning, I think I glanced in Eli's room as I was turning off lights and thought, maybe we should paint this weekend. That didn't happen. I didn't do laundry. I didn't clean the kitchen as well as I would have liked to. I never made it to the grocery store for a big grocery trip. Well-laid plans, you know. But we did have a really nice weekend nonetheless. So what did we do? Like I said, it was pretty much a lazy weekend, but there were a couple of things. We went on Saturday, we decided, of course, to go for a hike. It's been so cold and dreary. I know, I'm not from the north, and I know that it's all relative. And I was talking to a coworker of mine who is from Cleveland, and someone had said they couldn't live somewhere where it's gray all winter long. And what he said was, you just don't notice it. If that's what you've grown up with, that's what winters are. That's, you know, that it's when you move away or someone moves there that people really have an issue. I don't know if that's true. That's his perspective. And like I said, I'm not from the north, but I think that is true here. We are used to, you know, pretty sunny winter days with blue skies and crisp coolness. And when we have days and days or weeks and weeks, as it has been, it seems, of cold, dreary days, it really gets to us. So it was really nice this weekend when the sun came out and it got up into the 60s, maybe even the 70s. And it was just a beautiful weekend. So Saturday we went down to our favorite park, Brazos Bend State Park, and did about a 3-mile hike. It was really pleasant. It started out a little rocky. There were just, of course, everyone else wanted to enjoy the weather too. So the park was pretty busy. There aren't all that many places in Houston to go to get some nice outdoor activity. Excuse me while I take a sip of my coffee. There's just not a lot of nature in Houston. There are parts of the city that have a lot of trees, and there are some hiking trails and that kind of thing, but they're not really really, really outdoorsy. So this park is only about 45 minutes to an hour outside of the city, so it gets crowded. So the first half of the hike, maybe the first quarter of the hike, everybody was going the same direction we were, and there were a lot of people, and it was a little annoying, but I'm able to tune that out pretty well. My husband, not so much. So that was a little frustrating. But then about halfway around the lake that we were walking for the first part of our hike, the crowds thinned out. They turned to go other way, or they didn't want to do the whole path, so maybe they had turned around, or they slowed down, I don't know, but there weren't as many people. And so the second half or three quarters of the hike were very pleasant. The weather was just beautiful. I think we counted about 20 alligators, something like that. They were pretty active. None of them were close. They were all across the bank. So for anybody that gets a little weirded out by me getting close to alligators, these weren't very close. So that was Saturday. And then, let's see, I don't even remember what we did. Sunday night, both of my kids ended up staying over at friends' houses and just kind of on the spur of the moment. So Jimmy and I took advantage and went out to eat. We went to a boutique Indian restaurant that's literally right around the corner from us. And it's really good. It's one of these places that makes the top 100 in Houston often. And it's very strange because our neighborhood we're just outside of the city limits. There's really, our quote city is, I think, a mile square. And it's mostly residential. There are some businesses, but it's mostly residential. So the fact that we have this really great restaurant is very odd. But it is really good. And so we had that. I'll talk about that maybe. Well, no, I'll talk about it here. Like I said, it's a boutique Indian restaurant, and it's called Great Wakana Cafe. And if any of you are in Houston, it is on Kirkwood, right at the West Airport intersection. And it's a pretty small restaurant. There's probably 10 to 12 tables. And the kitchen is right there where you can see it, which is not necessarily a great thing. The chef is very good, and he's very nice to his customers most of the time. I have seen him be pretty nasty to someone before. But he tends to yell at his staff a little bit, and that's a little bit of a turnoff. But the food is very good. When it first opened, it's probably been open about 4.5 years, the portions were very small. Like I said, it is a boutique restaurant, and they tried the small portions, and I think it didn't work out for them. We were really stretched to split food at this restaurant before. Now their portion sizes are quite large. And we ordered samosas, a chicken tikka dish, and some dal, which were lentils, and bread, of course, and rice. Excuse me. And we actually never got the samosas, but that was okay because we were so stuffed when we finished eating. I was so worried that they were going to realize they hadn't brought the samosas and bring them out, and we weren't going to want them. So we did get charged for them, but then they took them off without a problem. It was a pretty good experience. It was very busy, and it takes a little while. But the service isn't bad. And it's worth it. It's a good restaurant. And then, oh gosh, what did we do? I have down here we had a couple of meals out. I don't remember what we ate. Jimmy and I went to a place after we dropped Laura off at her friend's house on Sunday. We went to a restaurant called Beck's Prime, which is a burger place. And this will be a tiny bit of a rant. Not really a rant, but so the restaurant is counter service, and they have really good burgers, and they've also apparently added steaks and some, I don't know if they've added them, but they have steaks and other things on the menu. But it's way overpriced. The burgers are really good. I really like Beck's Prime's burgers. But for counter service, it's just overpriced. It feels like a fast food restaurant that's trying to be fancy. Literally, it was over $12 for a burger, and we could buy burgers at another place that are probably some of the best burgers I've ever had for at least $4 less than that. So it's a little frustrating. We don't go very often, and I will only go if we're splitting, because we went one time when the kids were a little bit younger, maybe about 5 years ago, and ended up spending $50 on counter service, and I just, not worth it. Their fries are delicious. I would go through their drive-thru just to get fries, and I don't even know what the cost on those, but Jimmy and I split. We had a bacon cheeseburger, a regular order of fries, and two drinks, and it cost $18, which seems a little pricey to me. I know it's pricey. But anyway, I recommend the burgers if you're going to split. I don't recommend the place if you're just looking for a place to eat. My opinion. So let's get on to some knitting. That's pretty much all we did. So knitting. Finished objects. I actually have a few finished objects this week. I finished the Schertigel socks finally. Jimmy really likes them. They fit him very well. I used Wandering Wool Helvellyn sock in Royalty for this pair. And the pattern is from Socktopus by Alice Yu. This is a great pattern for big socks because it has a 12 row repeat. It seems to go a little faster because you just want to finish that repeat. It's definitely potato chip knitting. I'm stumbling over my words, guys. For stockinette or just plain ribbing, they just go on and on and on, and it seems like they're never going to end. With the pattern, you've got definite little, mini stopping points through the whole thing. And for his socks, it was a 12 row repeat, and I had to do with the heel, I did a total of 10 and a half, I think. 10 and a half repeats before I started the little toe pattern. And they didn't fly off the needles for sure, being size 11 feet. But as far as men's socks go, pretty good pattern. I was over it by the time I finished them, and I won't do another pair anytime soon, but that doesn't mean I won't ever do another pair. It's a really good pattern. I also finished the Everdeen beanie, which is by Tanis Gray, and it's from Weekend Hats by Cecily Glowick McDonald and Melissa Labar. I did this in Malabrigo Silky Merino in the Amethyst colorway, and I had only done maybe a third of the hat when I recorded last time, but I memorized that there's two little sections of the pattern, and I memorized each one individually. I had to look, for when I would start the new section for a minute, but overall, I had to pay attention, but it wasn't a hard pattern to just kind of do on autopilot. Super easy, turned out really nice. I still don't know if Laura is going to want it. She liked it. She said it was cute. She also said it was cute on me, so I don't know. I still don't think it's amethyst color, but it's a kind of a pale amethyst. It's more of a pastel, and Laura's not much of a pastel person. And she has short hair, so I'm not sure she'll want it. We'll see. Maybe when we'll just keep all of these, and she can decide what she wants to bring with her when she goes away to college. The last thing that I finished was an earbud pouch. I was listening to the Two Knit Lit Chicks last week at work, and Tracy was talking about this pattern and how she saw it, and it was one of those things where she thought, well, I'm just going to have to make that right now. And sure enough, she did. And as soon as I heard her say it, I looked up the pattern and exact same reaction. I think I have to have that. I have to make that right now. So I did that over I guess it was Monday afternoon, and it's a really short pattern. It's, if you've made Hexapuffs before, it doesn't take much longer than that. It's basically, you've got some ribbing and then kind of, not exactly a Hexapuff because there's some straight stockinette in there. So it's not a perfect, it's more of an octagon than a hexagon. But super fast pattern. You do it with sport or fingering weight yarn. And it took me probably a couple of podcasts. I watched Bakery Bears and I had watched the tail end of something else. I don't remember what else I had been watching. So I would say it probably took me 2 hours. Maybe a little bit longer to make. Super gratifying, fast knit. And I have taken it to work and my earbuds are living in it now. And I made that using Three Irish Girls Adorned Sock in Secret Recipe, which my assumption on that is that it was an oops. But I don't know, it's green with some, it's mostly green. There's some over dyeing in a couple of places that are, has some little brownish tints. Very pretty. I used that to make my seaweed socks by Lauren McMorty not this past summer, but the summer before. Oh, and that, the earbud pouch is a free pattern by Mary Keenan. So you can find that on Ravelry. Take another sip of my coffee. Works in progress. Not much because I finished so many things. Well, there I have a lot of whips that I've actually worked on. I, of course, have been continuing to work on my sock yarn blanket, which is, I'm using the free pattern by Shelley King. And I don't know if I got a square done every day. I think I might be one behind, but I did pretty good. And I did mostly two last night. I had started, okay, so I think I was a day behind and I tried to do two on Monday. And then somehow or other, oh, I think I just ran out of time. I tried to get to bed around 10 and I'm trying to be a little more regimented about that because it helps. And I, gosh, I'm sorry about the ums today. I did one on Monday. I was going to try to do two and then I just didn't have time to finish the second one. So I had started the second one and then finished the second one yesterday and ended another one during the State of the Union address. So I think I'm still one behind, but I did do mostly two yesterday. And that was the only knitting I worked on outside of work. Speaking of work, I am working on, I think I mentioned in the last episode that I was going to bring my worsted boxy. And that is what I did. I brought that in yesterday and I got 3 rows done, which is not as many as I thought. I thought I could probably get 4 done and maybe, I think it would depend on what I eat for lunch, whether or not that gets done. If I have a really short lunch, I mean a really something that I can eat quickly, then I might be able to get 2 done over lunch. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. So I got 3 done. I was thinking that it was about 4 rows per inch, and that's not about right. I think it's probably closer to 6. So I probably got about a half inch done yesterday. I have 7 inches to go before separating for the sleeves. So it'll be a few weeks before I get to that point. I was gonna wind a ball of yarn this morning because I'm really low on one of the colors. Oh, not one of the colors, one of the balls. I'm alternating skeins. Oh, that reminds me. So I didn't put this down here. This is why I'm forgetting. The worsted boxy I am doing in Malabrigo Rios in an unknown colorway. It was labeled as Bobby Blue. It is not Bobby Blue. There, it had to have been mislabeled. That might have been why it was on sale the time I bought it. But it's, I would say, maybe Paris Night, but that may be too dark. And I don't remember, Katie said one yesterday that she thought it might be too. but I don't really care what colorway it is. It's a little frustrating that it's not the colorway that it says, just because I like to know. But it's a dark blue, and it is really pretty, kind of a blue, dark blue teal, really, really pretty color. And I am, Worsted Boxy, is a paid pattern by Hohi Locatelli. So those are all the works in progress that I've worked on. I keep wanting to pick Rainbow Dash back up and finish that. I just haven't had time to do everything I wanted to do. When I have extra time for knitting something, that's what I plan to pick up. My CCS is languishing, and I really want to pick that up too, but I'm struggling because I want to finish Whips. Ugh, I don't know. It's so hard. I'm trying to find a zen place with knitting. I've kind of found it with reading right now, but I'm not being so successful with knitting, and it really, what it will take to get there is to get my works in progress off the needles. And I'm trying, but I just don't have all the time in the world. Let's move on to spinning. So, I've got some fun news in here, but I'll save that to the last. Porpoise fur, Shetland silk. That is what I think I was, I don't know if I had started that when I recorded last week. It's another sample from the Fat Fiber box that I got a few months ago. It was about, oh gosh, I don't know how many ounces because I weighed it in grams. I think it was about 10 grams, 9 or 10 grams. And it was two sections. One of them was a Shetland silk blend and one was purely Shetland. The Shetland silk was a very, very dark blue with kind of some silver silk blended in. And the pure, the 100% Shetland portion was a very bright kind of a peacock blue with a little bit of green. And the colorway for the fiber was scarab. So if you can imagine what a scarab beetle looks like, especially, you know, that really dark, shiny shell, that's what the black or the dark blue looked like. It reminded me of that, but it didn't have the color. And then the other section added that iridescent kind of color, and it turned out so nicely. I really, really enjoyed spinning this. It was pretty hairy, but it was, you know, that's what Shetland is. And I was just pleased as punch with how it turned out. I got about 20 yards and probably about a worsted. I don't have what do you call them? Works in progress. Wraps per inch tool right now, although I did order one. And that should be here in the next couple of days. And then I can actually accurately measure as opposed to just guessing. So I did that. I started another sample from the Fat Fiber box, which is by Willow Fairy Wool on Etsy. And I think she was out of Scotland or Sweden. It was somewhere with an S in Europe. Good coffee. Anyway, that is a merino baby camel silk, and I don't know how to say this word, trilobal, in the Nefertiti colorway, and it is a golden color, kind of a, it matches the wood on my spindle perfectly, so kind of, I don't know what that is, but maybe maple, just kind of a, it's a very kind of buttery yellow. And then it has some blue in there. I guess it's the silk that is blue. And it is so nice to spin. It's a Rolog. And I love spinning Rologs on my spindles. And it is, for the most part, it spins like butter. It was so easy to spin. Every once in a while, it'll kind of get bunched up on itself and I'll have to tug on it a little bit. Especially if there's a lot of silk content right there. But I'm spinning really even singles, and I think this is one that I could leave as a single. I'm not sure what I'll do with it because it won't be much yardage. It's just probably half an ounce. but it's a lot of fun. So what about the Christmas all year long bat, and what about the Brazen Stitchery Polworth Rainbow Connection did I say Christmas all year long bat? Christmas Magic. I still have that knitting in my head. What about those? What about those bigger projects? I mean, I've been working on these little samples, and you know, I have these bigger projects that I want to finish. Well, what am I going to do about those? Well, guess what, guys? I ordered a ladybug. I convinced Jimmy. It didn't take a lot of convincing, really. But I convinced him that that is what I wanted. I didn't want a computer. And what it really took was, we were talking about it as a family while we were hiking. A long story, but we ended up sitting and talking about spinning wheels and computers and Nintendo 3DSs while we were in the middle of a hike. But Eli said he didn't need a new computer. He's like, I'm fine. What I have works. I don't need that. So Jimmy said, well, if you don't want a new computer and Eli doesn't need a new computer, then sure, get a spinning wheel. So I know that I should try one out before I buy, but I don't really know anybody, actually, I don't know anybody close by who has a spinning wheel. I know there are those of you in Houston who do, but nobody that lives close by me has one. And the closest store that sells wheels is about an hour away, which is not really far in the grand scheme of things, but with our schedule, it's just really hard to get to. And what I ultimately decided was that everybody that I know that has a ladybug loves it. The most important part of that is everybody that I know that has a ladybug. I know a lot of people with a ladybug. I know a lot of people that I can ask for help if I get stuck, or ask for advice, or, you know, that type of thing. So I went with what I was most familiar with as far, you know, as mentally, and what I knew that I could easily, I know that there's Ravelry and I can ask for help, but that's not my personality. I want to ask someone that I know. So that's what I chose. It has shipped and it should be here tomorrow, and I'm so excited. I am very, very excited, as you can imagine. So what I decided after I ordered it was that for my spindle, I'm just going to focus on these small samples, at least for right now, and Rolags and that kind of thing. And I will save the bigger ones to finish up on my wheel, because it takes so long on a spindle. But I'm going to use the Christmas Magic bat as practice, because I'm not just in love with it. So if I screw it up, it's not that big a deal. I've got two little turtles spun already, so I'm going to go ahead and ply those together and then just spin the rest on the wheel. So I'm so excited. I almost squeed at lunch yesterday when I got my shipping notification. I'm just so excited. So cross stitch, I am still plugging along at the 12 Days of Christmas sampler, but I've skipped several days. I'm just not into it, and I was into the knitting this weekend. I wanted to finish projects and, you know, think about new things and think about spinning wheels, and I just never actually picked it up. I think I missed 2 days. I did pick it up yesterday. I am about halfway done, maybe a third of the way done with block number 12 out of 12 days. And then I've just got a little bit of border. I think I have some music notes to do. So it'll maybe by the end of, probably not the end of the weekend, but by the end of next week, it should be done. And I'm ready to move on to something else. I guess I will pick up, I'll pick up the Once Upon a Time sampler. Has anybody seen the new year-long knit-along or, you know, sampler from Frosted Pumpkin Stitchery? The storybook. I don't remember what it's called. Storybook characters or storybook something. It's literature based. Guys, I need to do that one. But I have so many other projects. And unlike my knitting, I don't want multiple projects going on with cross stitch. I want to focus on one thing and get it done. So I'm resisting. I really want to do that one so bad, but I'll wait. I'm going to finish Once Upon a Time. I have a summer sampler, and then I have my husband's Christmas stocking. And I keep avoiding going back to that one because the Frosted Pumpkin ones are so cute and they're really simple. I mean, really, they're very simple. His stocking isn't. It has a lot of blended colors and it's just kind of a pain. And in retrospect, I really wish I had chosen something else, but this is actually the second one that I've started for him because I didn't like the first one. So I'm determined. I like the end result. It's really pretty, and I will be very, very pleased with it when I'm done. But, oh, I just don't want to go back to it. So I mentioned enabling and acquisitions. Well, of course, the big thing is the wheel, but I don't have it yet. And I did order a couple of other things. I don't have them yet, so I'll talk about those when I get them. Hopefully, I think there's only one thing of yarn. And then, I did mention that I bought the wraps, ordered a wraps per inch tool. But when the other thing comes in, I'll talk about that. So I should talk about that next week. In the kitchen, I didn't do a whole lot, but I did make oatmeal scotchies, which is from Sally's Baking Addiction Cookbook. And I also made a pork loin roast. So let me tell you about those real quick. I'm running late today, but I don't care. I should, but I don't today. Oatmeal scotchies. So these cookies were amazing. It's a standard recipe. I'm sure most of you have had them before. They're oatmeal cookies with butterscotch chips. And they were so great out of the oven. I mean, right out of the oven. Or, you know, almost right out of the oven. I don't like them as much cold, but I still like them a lot. They stay very soft. The cookies themselves remind me of, if they didn't have the butterscotch in them, they remind me of the cookie part of an oatmeal cream pie, a Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie. It's like I said, it's just a basic oatmeal cookie with butterscotch, and I highly recommend the recipe. I tend to avoid putting the recipes from this book online, mainly. I've probably talked about this before, but as a librarian, I know this is one of the copyright things that I do know. I'm not like super well versed in copyright law, but I know that you can't copyright a recipe. It's at least especially you can copyright the instructions. You can't copyright the list of ingredients. A list is not copyrightable. So generally, I don't have a problem posting a recipe and completely rewording the instructions. Because I like this book so much, I want people to buy it. I don't want to post the recipe online because I feel like it's taking away from this author that I really like. So I generally don't share that widely. Like, I'm not going to put it on kitchenstitches.com. On kitchenstitches.com, I will put a link to the cookbook, and you're welcome to buy it or check your library to see if they have it. I know ours doesn't yet, but it has been ordered. I am more willing to put it in Ravelry because people aren't going to go there looking for it. And I figure it's just you guys, and you might want a copy. So if anybody wants a copy of the recipe, just let me know. I did post it on Facebook for the same reason. It's private. It was just in a comment to someone. So I don't mind sharing it, but I don't want my site to be the site that comes up when someone Googles it trying to find a free copy. Does that make sense? I don't always feel that way. If it's a recipe that I found online, well, first of all, I'm probably going to link to the original. Or if it is a cookbook that's an old standard or something that's been out for a long time, I don't feel as bad. But this is a currently popular cookbook. I didn't mean to go off on, I'm not ranting, I'm just explaining. And the other thing that I made was a pork loin roast. And I've made this for several years. And I found it on my All Recipes, which is one of my favorite websites for finding recipes. That and Pinterest, but then a lot of the ones that I find on Pinterest came from All Recipes. But I've been using All Recipes for a long time now, probably at least 10 years, if not longer than that. It's a great source for, like, just home-cooked meals. Just, you know, an everyday type of thing. So the pork loin roast, you take about a 4-pound pork loin roast, and the recipe on, I do it a little bit different. I based on one of the comments or one of the reviews on the web on that recipe. The recipe calls for dried marjoram, dried sage, and garlic, and salt. I think that's it. And you're supposed to sprinkle it on, you know, kind of rub it on the whole thing. Well, I do that, but also what I do is take 2 tablespoons of olive oil and mix all of the seasonings in that and then rub that on the roast. And the next time I do it, I'll probably will rub it on the entire thing. This past time, I just did it on top. And I miss some of that taste on the bottoms. But, I spread that on the whole thing and then cook it at, I don't remember what the temperature is, 275 maybe? Maybe it's more than that, 3, I don't know. I'll write it down. But you cook it for about 1 hour and 20 minutes until the temperature is 145 degrees Fahrenheit, the internal temperature. And that was spot on for me. It took about 1 hour and 20 minutes. And it is absolutely delicious. It's succulent and the flavors are amazing and it's just a really, really good standard pork loin recipe. And I will post that one because that's freely available on the internet. So that's really all I've made. The next recipe that is up, I think I mentioned I'm working my way through the Sally's Baking Addiction cookbook. And the next recipe that I am supposed to try is white chocolate raspberry cupcakes. And my birthday is in about a week and a half. And I'm thinking about making these this weekend if we celebrate with friends or something. I don't know. We'll be going to Austin the weekend of my birthday. So we'll be hanging out with friends. I don't know that I'll bake. I would have to bake at their house, so I don't know. Anyway, so I'm kind of looking forward to that recipe. What I'm reading, I am about 10 pages away from finishing The Lost Continent by Bill Bryson. So I'll go ahead and talk about that very briefly. I love Bill Bryson. I don't know how many of you have read his books. They are mostly kind of travelogue type books. He's written one about the Appalachian Trail and one about Australia and a couple about England, I think. But he's also done some other ones. He did a science one that I can't remember the name of right now. And then he's done At Home, which is about different, the history of the home, which is pretty interesting. I was listening to that and I never finished it, but it was pretty good. And then I read recently, I talked about it, One Summer, which was about all the events that happened in the summer of 1927. So I'm a big fan. And I also saw him speak several years ago at a local event. And I really like him. This book is dated. It was written in 1989 or published in 1989, and his experiences were from probably 87, 88. And this one is about his travels through small town America. At the time, he was living in Britain, and he's from Des Moines, Iowa. And I think he's moved back to the United States since then. But at the time, he was basically a foreigner. You know, he'd been in England for a long time. And honestly, I feel like I wouldn't want to come to and travel around the United States based on this book. It just sounded like a very, like these small towns just sounded horrible. And I know that they were not necessarily shown in the best light. Some of that I figure was probably pretty accurate. He talked about Cherokee, North Carolina, and this was around, probably within 5 years, was the first time I had gone there. And I just, I don't know. I enjoy it. It makes me chuckle at times, but at times I feel like there was one part that was just flat out racist. Like I said, this was published in 89. It's been a long time. It's been 25 years since this was published. 26 years. And I suspect his attitude has changed, just like so many other people's attitudes have changed about things. But, and you know, we live in a different world now after, you know, post 9/11 and all of that. But, it would be interesting. What I would really enjoy reading was for him to make the same trip now. It would be so cool to hear if his opinions have changed, have these places changed, to revisit them from the same, you know, 26 years later, probably 8 years later since he actually made the trip. I would be curious to see that. But I wouldn't say I wouldn't recommend the book, but I would recommend his later stuff before. I am sort of a completist when it comes to things like this, and I would like to read all of his books, but my overall opinion of it was that I've read better. So, I am going to start probably on the bus this morning reading The House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende. I started this one several years ago and I didn't make it very far, so I'm not 100% confident that I'll actually finish it. I give myself 50 pages of a new book, and if at 50 pages I don't think I want to read any more, then it's okay to put it down. I give myself at least 50 pages before I decide, and we'll see what happens with this one. Okay, guys, this is a little longer than I had meant it to be. I am running late as usual, and I need to go. So I will talk to you all next week. Have a great week. Bye.